Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Let's go now. You fire the first shot. Let's go, man.
Jason Leisure.
I'm here in the studio at The Score. This is a very, very special honor for you.
Bears writer for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I don't really like doing the radio, man.
Yes.
I don't like doing sports radio like the typical. That's why I've wanted to be on your show, because your show is, interesting.
Jason Leisure, host of the Sports Adjacent podcast. His takes will leave you speechless.
Imagine you want to go for a run. It takes everything you've got to stagger to the finish line of 16 miles. And now I'm going to say 217. 16 is too many. And now they're adding one.
Jason Leisure with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Jason Leisure joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino out in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He covers the Bears for the Sun-Times. He is one of the hosts of the Sports Adjacent podcast, and he is a weekly Bears contributor to our show. He is Jason Leisure, and he now joins me on The Score. Hello, Mr. Leisure. How are you?
I'm good, Lawrence. I am here covering the Bears' annual tradition of going a month without winning.
Yes, and what they love to tell you is that they grow from these experiences. So what evidence have you seen that this is another losing streak where they're going to grow?
So much, Lawrence, so much. The only way you learn how to have good losing streaks is by having good losing streaks, going through it, you know, getting – it's real. You feel that, Lawrence. They know exactly the formula now for how to get out of one of these losing streaks. And I don't know, should I say it on the air? It's kind of like classified information. But
the score listener definitely wants – all the classified information about getting out of a tailspin losing streak.
Okay. Here it is. This is between us. Okay. It's wait for the Lions game.
Oh yeah. Also,
although
just wait another week.
Didn't even work.
They just have another week, and then that will, yeah, week from to today. And then they will maybe have a win. Although I guess if you're a Detroit fan, you could say your team is trending towards winning because you had a tie, I guess.
Oh, a tie is a win for them. They're counting that. They if they have club dub, they did club dub after that tie for sure.
Club dub for a draw. There's no doubt
about
that.
How are you enjoying the annual losing streak season? Do you celebrate privately or with friends, or what traditions do you have that you do during the annual 4-6 game losing streak that the Bears have?
I usually celebrate publicly with people here on The Score. Like, that's usually how I observe the annual losing streak. But the good thing is that inside of that, we've seen improved play from Justin Fields. So that's good.
Yes,
like that's a positive that you can take from this experience that the Bears are putting you through. So I like that. I don't like that. Well, you know what? There are actually a couple things I like, and I want to ask you about one of them. Tevin Jenkins exists?
Okay. not yet. Not yet he doesn't. They've opened the window for him to return, but there's no guarantee that he would. I think that if he can, if he's physically cleared to play, they need to play him as much as they possibly can. And that's kind of an unfortunate and somewhat unfair element of professional sports, because Jason Peters deserves better than to be benched in favor of development for 2022. But, you know, that's what really matters at this point.
So what's the process here? When will we know if he's going to find his way back onto the field?
Well, the way they've been doing their IR activations, and IR is different this year, where a guy just has to miss three games, then he can come back and you have unlimited use of that. The Bears have not activated a guy unless they or opened the window for him to be activated, I guess I should say, unless they thought he could play that week. I think Tevin Jenkins' situation is a little bit different because it was significant surgery and he's been out for so long. He's a rookie. All the concerns you had about him coming in, where you thought he's going to need a lot of practice time, would still apply because he hasn't practiced hardly at all.
Tariq Cohen, do we have any update on what's going on with him?
Yes. I'm glad you asked, because David Montgomery was asked today how things are going with him, and he said, great, and then looked around for the next question. I don't think Tariq Cohen's going to play this year, and there's been really weird answers every time you've asked about it. It's been something that the Bears, for whatever reason, are being really secretive and avoidant about. That was supposed to be a really big part of the plan this year. If you think back to the last time the offense with Matt Nagy looked decent, it was 2018, and he was their best player, basically. He was their biggest weapon on offense and probably Matt Nagy's favorite player to use. And him having a bad year in 2020 and then in 2019, not being in great shape, according to him, and their offensive line having problems and quarterback having problems, and then basically missing all of 2020, the thought was that getting him back was going to be really, really a big asset to Matt Nagy trying to turn the offense around. And Tariq Cohen is just – Tariq, you talk about Tevin Jenkins not existing. Tariq Cohen is the one that feels like that to me.
Yeah, it's been weird because, I don't want to blame a guy for not being healthy. I mean, everyone heals at a different rate. It just felt like the you're sitting there going, all right, in week seven, we're going to see him – come off the same thing with Tevin Jenkins, him come off and then have those 3 weeks to ramp himself up. And the fact that we're not even to the ramp up part, I think is really concerning with Tariq Cohen.
They've never expressed any optimism whatsoever with him. You have to really read between the lines with Matt Nagy when it comes to injuries and stuff like that. He has from the beginning tried to put a very optimistic look on Tevin Jenkins' situation. He has never said anything about Tariq Cohen that gives me even the slightest thought that he's coming back this season. All he ever says about Tariq Cohen is that he's doing a great job with his rehab.
Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times and the Sports Adjacent podcast joining me here for a few minutes as we talk about the Bears. I was reading this from afar, like I wasn't reacting to it in real time, but I feel like Matt Nagy's thoughts on Cassius Marsh's celebration and taunting call are different than the locker room. You cover both Matt Nagy and that locker room. How would you describe how Nagy feels about the taunting rule versus how the players feel about it?
Nagy has been in favor of the taunting rule since day one. This is not a new conversation. This is something we were talking about in September when we first started to see how this rule was going to be applied and what could fall under this rule, which, by the way, is everything. Like, literally everything can fall
under
this rule.
That's the problem with it.
Which is a huge problem with the rule. Matt Nagy has been in favor of this. Matt Nagy he wants, like, a clean, pristine, proper version of football that I just don't understand. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, Lawrence, because from the start, I just have never understood why this even is a rule. I don't think this needs to be a rule. I think that these players can handle someone. Jimmy Graham was talking today about how he used to taunt, and you could tell it in his voice like he misses it. He misses that element of the game. That can be part of sports. Who cares, man? Find me the first guy that has to come out of a game because his feelings got hurt by somebody taunting him. Who honestly cares? And what parent is sitting at home saying, okay, sit down, children, sit down, sons and daughters, and watch this football game, and everything that the football players do, I want you to go to school and do on a daily basis. That's a different world. It's okay when you're playing the fiercest, most violent, physically demanding sport that we have. It's okay to be into it emotionally and to do some taunting. And I don't understand. It's so unrealistic to ask these guys to walk away from every play like they're at church. And it's also completely unfair that they didn't have hardly any say in this. It was like, if I remember right, it was an 11-man committee that decided on this point of emphasis, and one of those 11 seats at the table was for the players' union. I mean, who is this rule for, honestly?
It's a great question, and it feels like it is for people that want to pander to the idea of, you know, there's a clean way to play the game, and it should be done that way. I'm okay with a rule, but a rule should have something behind it. Like, there should be, the players should know clearly what they can and cannot do. Instead of this
clearly
moving
is,
target
clearly
of
is, there is no clearly. There is no clearly. And there is no target. It's not even a target that's moving. It's an all-encompassing target. It's so broad that that call on Cassius Marsh for going a few steps toward the Pittsburgh sideline and stopping and posing and staring, that, guess what? Under that rule, the way it's written, that's a correct call. That's not a problem with the officiating. That's a problem with the rule. The rule is insane to where something like that can, by definition, count as taunting.
Yeah, I think that there is a line. I'm not sure where it is for me, but I bet that it probably changes from person to person. So trying to figure out what constitutes taunting is difficult. I thought that the karate kick was probably more taunting than the stare, but, you know, TJ Watt does a kick after every sack that he does. And I mean, I know that this has already been grandfathered in for some strange reason, but isn't the Lambeau leap that too? I mean, it's all of it is just so bizarre to me that we.
You remember with Bill Clinton where we were like, it depends what the definition of is?
Correct.
In this rule, it's like it depends what the definition of the word at is, because if it's at an opponent, it can just be a dirty look, and as long as it's at an opponent, it's a violation of the taunting policy. Whereas whatever you call that amazing flying spinning kick that
it was
Cassius
so
Marsh
awesome.
And the Lambeau leap and Aaron Rodgers yelling to the crowd here in Chicago, none of those are at an opponent. So by the NFL's definition and explanation of that rule, those things don't count as taunting, even though they're much more flagrant actions physically than walking a few steps and staring at the sideline. I'm trying to figure out who this rule is for. I'm kind of stuck on that. I'm picturing like where would we be? We're somewhere in New England. We've got to be in like Cape Cod or something. And we've just come in from our polo match or something. And we've played some bridge, and now we're going to turn on the football while we have some tea. And oh, this is a lovely game of football. And oh my goodness, oh, you've upset mother. Oh no. Oh no, we can't have that. Look at the man clap at the other man. Oh no.
I think that your friend Dan Le Batard had it right when he said this is for Wellington Mara. That's who this is for. It's for Wellington Mara and whoever it was that Wellington Mara hung out with. That's who the rule is for. Mr. Leisure, thank you,
you
as always.
Know, were you like me? Were you unaware that this was ruining football for everybody the last few years? I didn't realize that. Like some common fool thinking football was more popular than ever. And I didn't realize all these people were turning off their TV because of clapping and staring and yelling.
It is amazing, like, some of the power of that stuff where people that are in charge, like, they put a lot of weight on the vocal minority. That seems to happen in a lot of different industries. And to me, it's just, I'm like, okay, man, like, that's, it's whatever. Yeah. There's always something. And usually what happens when they do these points of emphasis rules, usually you get it for the first couple of weeks, like, hey, we get the point, and then it kind of slowly goes away. With this one, it just continues to be out here, and it's just, I think the coaches are in a really hard spot, but most of them seem to be like, no, this is a good idea. We need to do this with the Queensberry rules and all of this other stuff.
I wish hadn't brought up the taunting, because it made me angry and it made me kind of cut you off a couple times and be a rude guest. The taunting really kind of gets me very upset. The taunting.
That's why they throw the flags. That's exactly why, because you need to learn how to be a little bit more of a gracious guest. And it's clear that the violence and the staring of the NFL has caused you to lose your manners. So that's why. Flag on the play.
I think you have a point.
I'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy.
That's Jason Leisure, who covers the Bears for the Sun-Times, and he also does the Sports Adjacent podcast. This week's episode is pretty crazy, including Russ and Tony getting mad about people's sexiest man, Paul Rudd. There's a lot of stuff that's going on inside that podcast. We've had a lot of fun on today's show. We're going to turn our attention a little bit more serious, and it has to do with a couple of people in charge of baseball operations in town. Kenny Williams, Jed Hoyer, and a guy who used to be in charge of a baseball operation in this town, Theo Epstein. I'll explain next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Glad that you are hanging out here with me. I'm glad to be back. My vacation was, it was really interesting and a little disjointed, but I had a good time hiking in both Flagstaff and Tucson. I did a whole podcast on watching Fast and Furious 9 on the plane. My God, was it hysterical. Anyway, I know that while the winter meetings were going on out in California, Kenny Williams and Ken Rosenthal wrote this piece about Kenny Williams getting up and saying some stuff about hiring at the highest levels of baseball. When you're talking about managers or people who run teams as GMs or team presidents, I imagine that he's felt very alone, like looking around the rooms of that he's in. And he probably is sitting there going, I thought that we were working towards changing some of this. And change can sometimes go very, very slow. But for Kenny, considering where he's made it to in his career, he's like iconic status. And I know that there are plenty of White Sox fans that have frustration with Kenny for whatever reason. He and I have clashed on particular issues. But I'll tell you this much, when it comes to some of the issues that he's been most vocal about in the last 18 months, I am in lockstep with him on this and how baseball needs to try and diversify its game at the highest level. Ownership is one thing, and that's really, really difficult because you got to find people that have money and then they got to be let into the club. But when it comes to hiring practices, those are ways where you can try to knock out some of the inherent things of hiring people that are just like you. I don't think that when we use the term bias, people will sometimes get frustrated, but you have to understand that some of this stuff is built in. Like it's built in to who we are as people. And sometimes we look at people that we think reflect us. And we often lean towards those people. And it could be a difference of ethnic background, or it could be that you think similarly. It could be that you've been in the same place with the same people for a long time, and they maybe see your point of view easier, that the task becomes easier. That's where all of us have to then challenge ourselves to go, are we getting the best candidates for jobs that are open? Are we giving ourselves the best opportunity to hire the best person, but also have the best hiring process? Let me go back to Kenny Williams in particular. With the hiring of Ozzie Guillen, they kind of knew what they wanted to do. They knew who they wanted to hire. Cito Gaston, right, Herbie? Wasn't Cito Gaston that was just sitting there waiting for the White Sox to hire back then?
Correct.
But at the behest of Jerry Reinsdorf, right? He's like, interview Ozzie, see what Ozzie's got going on. Ozzie goes into that interview and wows them. And they're like, no, this is the manager of the White Sox going forward. That's a case of someone in a position of power looking at the process and maybe not saying the process needs to be changed. Because, I mean, Cito Gaston's a man of color, so it's not like it. But him saying, are we casting a wide enough net to find the right person? And then you take another look and you go, wow, this person changed my mind. It's hard to get into those rooms. And for what, a quarter century, Kenny's been in those rooms kind of by himself, trying to fight the good fight. And I remember last year, it was him and Theo Epstein who were really out here talking about hiring in baseball. And I'll get to Theo in a second. Jed Hoyer was in the room. Let me paint the picture for you. The meetings are going on. Everyone's around the table. Curtis Granderson had spoken. This is all according to Ken Rosenthal. Curtis Granderson had spoke about changing the way that the hiring process goes, and then he asked for feedback. And then Kenny was like, I've got some feedback for y'all. And he gave him some feedback. This is what Jed Hoyer had to say about hiring processes and his role in those hiring processes.
I thought Kenny's words, I think his thoughts were spot on and really powerful, you know, coming from him and the way he phrased things. I thought, you know, I think everyone in the room was sort of rapt attention. You could hear a pin drop, and he's 100% right. You know, I think you look around the room and it is very similar backgrounds. And I think that's something that we have to actively work on. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot internally, you know, as we go through each search, you know, how we change our hiring processes. You know, I think that I think it's a challenge that we all have to undertake. And I think that, you know, the hope has to be, you know, this is not going to be the kind of change that, you know, next year you're not going to look in that room. It's going to be completely different. But, you know, my hope is, you know, over the next, you know, 3 to 5 to 10 years that room changes completely. And it should. It should look a lot more like Major League Baseball looks. And it doesn't right now. You know, the on-field product and the front office product or the people working in the front office, it looks different. And we need to change that. And Kenny's 100% right that it is time for that change. I think we've talked about it a lot, but it hasn't come yet. And, you know, what I always, you know, talk about is, and I think we've done a really good job of this here over the last few years, is I think you have to start, you know, you have to start that at the grassroots level, really focus on finding diverse perspectives, you know, during the hiring process. Because when you look around that room, almost every person in that room came up as an intern. They started at the bottom level as an intern and then worked their way up rung by rung. And that's just, you know, it's hard to find a lot of people that didn't play in the big leagues among the executives that didn't come up that way. So, you know, with that, I think we have to really, you know, focus our lower level hiring on finding those diverse perspectives and allowing those employees to grow up through the ranks. And I think when we do that, I think we're going to see a tremendous change. So I'm really glad Kenny said that. I thought it was a really impressive moment. And I think for everyone that was in the room, that will be the moment they take away from those GM meetings as the most powerful. And he's right. And you know, we all have to do a better job, the Cubs included. And I think we've done a lot of really, you know, good things in this regard over the last year, but we can all be better and we'll all, you know, continue to strive to be better.
Okay. A couple of things. There's one thing in there that I really like, and this is from the experience in my industry where interning is a big deal, but how interning is pretty much dead in broadcasting for a lot of different reasons, which I honestly don't have time to go into right now. At some point, maybe we will. But where I think that while I think that Jed is well-meaning in what he's saying about, well, you got to kind of pay your dues, and to pay your dues, you got to get in on the lower levels and then work your way up. I think a lot of people understand that that is a way that a lot of us look at it, like a meritocracy idea of, yes, you got into this industry, you worked your way up, you caught people's eye, people noticed you. But the idea of, well, just wait. Just wait. 7 to 10 more years, then there will be, and I don't think you have to do that. I think that baseball saw a seismic change over the last 15 years with hiring people like Theo and Jed, where it was a club of people that didn't want guys with law degrees and MBAs to have a seat at the table back then. It was, you aren't a baseball person, so you don't belong in this conversation. I would say to them and to Jed, I would say that one doesn't have to do it that way to be a great executive for an organization. One would have to have an understanding of baseball. But I think that there are plenty of people who haven't worked inside of baseball that if you put them at the top of an organization because of the skills that they have as an executive, the background that they may have from another industry, it might make for a good hire. But what Jed said is passively what people of color and women have dealt with for decades, where it's, no, we're going to get it fixed. You just got to wait a little bit longer. And I think for Kenny Williams, sitting in that room, looking around at his peers, he's been sitting there waiting. And he's been an agent of change. And he's wondering if that change is going to be met by his peers. And he's seen the group of peers change from being people who were in baseball to people who were smart guys, the tech guys, the Theo Epsteins, the Jed Hoyers, the really sharp college dudes that found their way into baseball and then worked their way up. But it doesn't have to be that way. Just because it's the way that it's always been doesn't mean that that's the way that it should be going forward. So when Herbie said to me, he's like, yeah, we should probably get into this and talk about this. I said, you know, you're right. My friend Shakia Taylor, who was on the show before I left last week, and we were talking about Minnie Minoso and his Hall of Fame candidacy. She did a whole report on the hiring processes in baseball and how and why they're broken. And they are broken because of the inherent bias of those of us who end up hiring people that are like us, that we don't often stray from the familiar. And she asked me about this whole thing. I said, you know what? There's a piece of sound that you should hear. And it's Theo Epsteins. I had Theo on last June. Was it last June? I don't even know what year it is. Okay, June 12, 2020. Theo Epsteins came on, and we had this 30-minute incredible conversation. And it was an incredible conversation because we talked about a lot of different things. I genuinely like and respect Theo Epsteins. Anytime that I've been in long-form interviews with him, I've had an hour-long sit-down with him in front of business people, and I've had a chance to talk baseball with him occasionally, and I really, really like him, and I like his approach to things. And I think that while Jed is showing some introspection here, I don't think that it goes far enough. And I'm looking to see what Theo's next inside baseball job is, and if he continues to be a man of his word. But I wanted you to hear those words from him. This was Theo on with me last year talking about having the same frustration as Kenny Williams when it comes to hiring and actually doing the work of being introspective.
The best thing that you can do initially is listen and then look inside and look inward and look at your own situation. And, you know, for me as a leader and of this organization and in baseball operations, you have to look at your own decision-making and examine that and see if perhaps, you know, you have your own, you know, unconscious biases that exist. And, you know, as a leader, all leaders, whether they like it or not, or whether it's intentional or not, they shape the culture around them. And so the environment of an organization is there in the makeup of an organization, the demographics of an organization, is the responsibility of every leader, whether they like it or not. If you're being honest with yourself, you can impact that. You can take control of it. Your own decision-making, the culture that you help set, defines the environment of the organization. So, you know, if you look at the Cubs, for example, you know, we don't have a representative number of African-American employees, especially for a team in a city like Chicago, but we just don't. And we might be up to major league averages in those areas, but that's nowhere near good enough. And that's part of the problem, is that as, you know, now you look a little bit more broadly beyond the Cubs and you look at Major League Baseball, and our numbers aren't nearly good enough. You know, we have two African-American heads of baseball operation, two African-American managers, the percentage of scouts, the percentage of front office people, they just all fall well short, not to mention, you know, the percentage of African-American players in the game, is under 8% now. So, you know, that stuff doesn't happen by accident. Again, these issues are institutionalized at this point. They're systemic. They're, as I said earlier, they're everywhere, whether you can see them or not. And there's a lot of unconscious bias that goes on. So I just looked at my own decision making, and, you know, I've hired a lot of, you know, African-American people and people from all different races and backgrounds. But, you know, if I'm being honest with myself, and in my time at the Cubs, I said the other day, I'm not afraid to say it again. Like, what, you know, there have been a lot of key decisions where I end up hiring someone who looks like me or with a similar background as me. And I think that's, you know, that's a default for a lot of people, and a dangerous default, because you end up falling back on the comfort of the familiar. And when you do that, you don't end up with a diverse enough organization. You do that, you don't end up with diversity of perspective or experience or opinion as well. And you can't be quite as effective that way. So I just thought that needed to be said, because I thought if I called myself out on it, maybe it would, just for a split second, also have, you know, cause others in baseball to take a look inside as well at their own unconscious biases to see if they're there, and see if, you know, collectively we take a moment and try to change.
I think he needs to speak even louder, because there still hasn't been enough of that. And I think it's hard, because no one wants to be a token interview. And the hope of anyone that's in these positions is, I know that they're probably, I'll speak from my own experience. As I look at this, if I were to put myself in the position of, let's say, Ozzie Guillen interviewing for the Padres job, him being out of baseball for as long as he's been out of baseball, considering that he has a World Series championship, I know that I would go into it going, yeah, they probably want to check a box, and it sucks that they want to check a box. But if I go into that room, I want to give myself a chance, and I want to wow them, and I want to win that job. There's still, inside of baseball, not enough opportunities for folks to wow at the highest levels. And I can imagine Kenny Williams looking at this and pulling his hair out and saying, we're still not doing enough. And a texter brought it up, and I think it's a very valid point, where 20 years ago you have Jerry Reinsdorf banging the table to allow Ozzie Guillen to interview, and then you have him usurping the interview process to bring in Tony La Russa. I think that's a very fair statement, and it's one of the reasons that it enraged me, and it enraged a lot of people because of what it felt like it represented. None of these answers, I don't know if I wasn't coming to you with this segment to give you real solutions to the problem. I just know that there are a lot of things to disagree with Kenny Williams about. And I have found myself disagreeing with him on myriad subjects. But I think that he should be recognized and applauded for continuing to fight the good fight and not wanting to be the only one in the room. And that's hard. What he has to do, of not just being a representative of the White Sox as an organization, but he has to represent not just the Black community, but people of color that want to be more involved in baseball overall. He's got to be that voice, and it's not an easy thing. I appreciate him doing that. I appreciate the introspection that Jed is showing. I wish he would get to the place where Theo is at, but baby steps, I'm here for it. But understand that you talk about an OG, like a real gangster. Kenny Williams is that, and he deserves your respect in that regard. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
There are reports circulating that Mel Tucker is getting ready to sign a 10-year, $95 million deal to stay the head coach of Michigan State. And I figured this a few weeks ago when they were off to an undefeated start, they beat Michigan. I figured he would get paid either to stay in Sparty Land or he would get paid to leave Sparty Land. And it looks like he's going to stay. And I think that that's good. It's a good fit for him. And we don't ordinarily see these type of dollars for black coaches. This is unprecedented in that regard. And yesterday when I retweeted it, a lot of people were like, wait, the guy who is the defensive coordinator for Mark Trestman? Yeah, that guy. And what I love about his success at Michigan State is you're not doomed by one failure. And the failures of those Bears teams, we've done the autopsies on them, and we kind of know that there are a lot of things that were wrong from it, from the talent that was around to the head coach and everything else. But it's nice to see someone take that punch and figure out a way to reinvent themselves and win and go down and take an assistant's job and find yourself at Colorado and doing well at Colorado and then seemingly a perfect fit in East Lansing with Michigan State. I think it's something that we should all look at and take some solace in and be like, hey, man, even when something terrible goes wrong, there's a chance to grow and to be even better. And if you read Jeff Agress's piece about my teammate Layla Rahimi, you'll see that she takes a punch and she's able to get back up and punch too. Shout out to Layla. Shout out to Mel Tucker. I'll talk with Parkins and Spiegel next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.